Buona sa fiwe.
Amen.
Buona sa fiwe.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We're going to talk about what he's given me, this message today, the Holy Spirit, a gospel-driven faith.
Amen.
A faith that's driven by the gospel, because that's what we believe.
Yep.
That's where our faith started. We're going to go first to Romans 1:16.
Okay.
And he said, through Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Sometimes in the Western world, we can tend to be ashamed of the gospel, because people here, like in particular in Australia, it could be in America as well, but say in Australia, which tends to be very focused on anything other than God in many, many circles, that we can start to shy away and shrink back and say, oh, I better not say that because they won't like me. Or we might even get embarrassed in a way where we don't want to talk about him. Because we see people's funny looks on their faces, and we see their raised eyebrows, and we hear them talking behind our backs, and we think, oh, well, we won't do that here. But he says that we're not to be ashamed of it. Why? Because it's the power of God.
Amen.
And it brings salvation.
Hallelujah.
And as I was sharing before, I had a privilege of teaching at this school this last week, and in that, he, through my sharing the gospel, through the children learning about the gospel, his power was working behind the scenes the whole time, and these hearts were being changed. So we worry about their faces, what they look like to us, but what he wants us to do is just share the gospel, and he does the work.
Amen.
We don't do that work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our part, because we're not to be identified with this world. Our identity is to be separate from the world, in it, but not of it. We're not to blend in, but the Western church blends in with the culture. We got the hip-hop music. We've got the same kind of clothes. We've got the way we do worship is like the world. And what I have found and what I've been learning through praying for and looking up all the persecuted church around the world that is heavily persecuted, not just that people talk behind their backs or they you know, give them funny looks, but where they're beaten, they're tortured, they're imprisoned, and they're killed for it. They do not blend with the world. They look completely different than the world, the culture they're around. That's why they're persecuted. And we have to realize that if we are really going to be his, he promises that everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
Amen.
And we have to be willing to pay the price because he paid his.
Mm-hmm.
And his was far greater than ours. So what, people? What if somebody slaps us in the face? He said to turn the other cheek. He doesn't say we're supposed to run. He says we're supposed to be willing.
Amen.
Because he gave me this, and it's I was going to say it at the end, but he wants me to say it now. For if we're not willing to die for Christ, then we are not living for him. That's the truth. And because in Australia, you don't have someone with a sword running in the building here telling us we better not believe in Jesus and we better renounce him, we then shrink back smaller and smaller and smaller. Do you know, in the schools, public schools, you're not supposed to talk about Jesus. Now, it isn't a law necessarily. I don't even know if it's a law in the books, but everyone knows it's unspoken here. You just don't do it. Oh, it's not polite. It's almost like you're just not supposed to talk about it. But we need to go past that boundary. And that is the way our faith is going to grow. Because our faith is supposed to be driven by what we believe, why we first came to faith. Now, I'm going to read what is the gospel so that we know. I had read this with these children, and although they were in a Christian school, they did not know. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 10. And although it's a long passage, it's so important. And I might stop it before 10. And Paul said, was saying to the Corinthians, for I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 10. That's okay. You can ask. And now we're in 4, verse 4. and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. That was in Paul's time. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, Paul said, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not even meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. This is the power of the gospel. Here Paul was persecuting the people of God until Jesus spoke to him. And we know the story of his on the road to Damascus. We know that he was knocked off his high horse. That's where we get that saying, get off your high horse. God knocked him off his high horse, fell to the ground, was blinded by the light of Jesus, saw Jesus, and heard him speak to him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Do you know the power of this gospel is changing hearts over in the Middle East? There is an account, there are several accounts now. One of the people who have been training the ISIS fighters to commit their atrocities by the Quran, and he calls it Jihadi 101. He's training in the basics of what it is, why you're allowed to kill these Christians. He went over there as a Saudi prince, very wealthy, very high up in his society. He went over there to train them. So he trains all these young guys, why you can cut their heads off, why you can cut these Christians' heads off, why you can persecute them, why you can rape their women, all of it. On his way back, he's going through Damascus, the same place that Paul was going through. And people have been praying this. I prayed this as well. He's going through Damascus. He's in a taxi cab. He talks to the taxi cab driver. He says, excuse me, do you know where I can get a Bible? Now, the taxi cab driver might be concerned that he's going to try to find out a Christian so he could hurt them.
Yeah.
But they are still Christians in Syria, these brave, brave brothers of ours in Syria. Still there. Still looking after the sheep, still preaching the gospel in the streets. Mm-hmm. To the Muslims. Mm-hmm. That is love. That is a gospel-driven faith. Mm-hmm. Now, this man, this Saudi prince, asks about the Bible. The taxi cab driver gets him to link up with someone who knows, well, they have Christians there, who can give him a Bible. Mm-hmm. He meets with this person, and he gives him, he talks to him. He says, why do you want a Bible? Mm-hmm. You will not believe what this Saudi prince said. Mm-hmm. He said, I am sick of the killing. There must be a better way. This is the truth that's happening there. These people are not dying in vain, because other people are coming in and we're praying, and we can pray here. Those prayers that we pray in America and England, wherever else, will change that situation. Will change those hearts.
Yes.
I had actually prayed that, and then 2 weeks later, and I'm not saying it's just my prayer, there's people all over the world praying. 2 weeks later, I hear this report, and I'm like, Lord, you're listening. Of course he's listening. He wants that Saudi prince saved just as much. And if one of those leaders, like Paul, got saved, imagine how many more will come.
Amen.
This man who's a Saudi prince going to tell the people who are the ISIS fighters, no, it's wrong. And okay, he may die for it, but he might get several of them saved first.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Incredible. These are the things that are happening around our world. And so the gospel is the simple, and I had to tell these children, the simple gospel is that Jesus came to earth. He died, he lived amongst us, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel. When you believe, you're set free of sin.
Powerful.
So, so simple. And it's not even taught. How is it not being taught in a school that pronounces themselves as Christian? Something's wrong. Something's way wrong. Okay, if it was a public school, I can totally understand. But not in a Christian school. So in Australia, people have just come so far away from their faith. They're so diluted. It's so mixed with water. There's no power in it, because it's not the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know the version that most people read, the NIV? I hate that version, and I will publicly say that, even though, and I'm going to put that on my website. But because it is the insipid, it is so weak. Do you know in that version, the word Christ is not in that verse? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. That's what they say. It says here in the King James, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of what? Of Christ.
Yes.
They kick Christ out of Christianity. Well, there's no, all you've got is eanity. You've got no Christ. So it's pointless. So we need to have a gospel-driven faith, where we first came from. And one of the things the Holy Spirit wanted me to talk to you about was, do we have a faith worth dying for? Because most Australians, and I don't want to be slanderous or put down or anything like that, but many Australians who go to church do not have a faith worth dying for. That if somebody said to them, will you renounce Christ or I'm going to kill your child, they would. Mm-hmm. They would renounce him to save their child. Okay? And we have to ask ourselves, do I have a faith worth dying for? Because he had a faith worth dying for. He died for us. Mm-hmm. And he calls us. I'm going to go to Galatians 2:20. Mm-hmm. And I may not reach all these scriptures because I just want to go with how the Holy Ghost is going. But these are the scriptures I looked at. So we have to look at, do we have a faith that we should keep? Or is it a faith we need to kick out and get a real faith? So let's go to Galatians 2:20. Pastor Willumba, would you mind reading that? Or do you want me to read it?
It's
ready. It's Swahili. It's wonderful.
Okay. Nimesulubiwa pamoja na Kristo, lakini ni hai wala si mimi tena, bali ni Kristo yu hai ndani yangu. Na uhai nilio nao sasa katika mwili, ninao katika imani ya mwana wa Mungu ambaye aliyenipenda akajitoa nafsi yake kwa ajili yangu. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I am crucified with Christ.
Yes.
Nevertheless, I live. Mm-hmm. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me.
Yeah.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God,
Amen.
Who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the faith we need to have.
Hallelujah.
The faith of the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not even our own little faith. We go, oh yes, oh what a faithful servant. Oh, they have so much faith. His faith that is implanted in our hearts at the time when we receive him.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look at it. Is our faith superficial, you know, just on the surface, like the top of the piece of this table? Is it that, or does it go deep in our souls,
yep.
in the soil of our souls? Because if it's not, we have to get rid of it. We have to toss it out and let the Holy Ghost give us true faith.
Amen.
That's faith based on the gospel. Now, I want to go to examining our faith. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. And you know, I was talking with these children, and I showed them some dramatizations of persecuted Christians. So they weren't the actual Christians. So there were some in Africa where they did a dramatization of this family, or it wasn't just a family, it was about 40, 50 people in a small church in northern Nigeria, and everyone was worshiping the Lord, and these Boko Haram were running through the bush, came in and shot many people. And they were interviewing the people afterwards, and the children watched that. The children watched a man in Laos be beaten and imprisoned for 10 years, more than 10 years, for having a Bible and for sharing the gospel. And they started to realize that this book is actually precious, that it could cost someone's life. They started praying prayers for the persecuted, these 10 and 11-year-olds, or 9 and 2 11-year-olds, because they started realizing that this was, we have Bibles all over the place in Australia, and it's like, oh, who cares? You can have 10 Bibles. Some of these people die for one page of a Bible. So we're going to read about examining our faith. It says in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 13,
yep.
Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Christ, Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And reprobates is a, means like, well, complete sinners, like you're, you know, you're absolute rebellious. Okay? So we're, this is, he's talking to Christians. Paul was talking to the church of Corinth. Examine and see if you're in the faith. Don't just make an assumption. You know, we have to look, and it's not the kind of, it's not a guilt or we're terrified of God and going, oh, am I in the faith? I mean, it's not like that. It's saying, Lord, I expose my heart to you, like David said. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me to the way everlasting. So we have to examine that. I find myself sometimes thinking I'm better than other Christians. Because I'm willing to do this and I'm willing to do that. And I get this chip on my shoulder and I think I'm a bit special. And I'm sure that doesn't please the Lord. So I have to ask him. I'm like, Lord, please make me your humble servant because that's all I am. And I don't want to think I'm better than the other people. And the other people who don't follow him with all their hearts, Christians that in many ways live by him in name only, they need to know what it means to live for him. And they're not going to know that if I'm running around thinking I'm better than them. They're only going to know it if I share him and if I live for him. And then they may be so attracted and go, why are you different? I like that. I had somebody at one of the schools say to me, you know, I'll have what you're having. The way you are, I want that. And they were a Christian, but they still weren't living him fully. So it excites people when they see our passion. So like you said in your church, you starting to clap and shout, the Africans clapping and shouting, now the church is clapping and shouting. The pastor is clapping and shouting. He's happy to preach. So we can't shut up because we have a gospel-driven faith. He said, go and preach the gospel to every living creature. And even they even have it on this, because they're going to have Sunday school here tomorrow, in Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's our job.
Amen.
That's our job. Simple job. People go, oh, I wonder what the will of God is for me. Oh, I'm going to pray and fast and pray and fast. And yes, we have specific things. That's it. However he wants to do that in you is it.
Amen.
That's it. That's the end of the story. We don't have to be seeking, oh, does he want me to be a this? Does he want me to... That's our desire. Mm-hmm. We want to do it in certain ways. I never asked to be a minister. When he called me to ministry, I was quite upset about it, and I thought God needed another cup of coffee because there's no way that I was in the middle of a paddock in Western Australia homeschooling my son, living with my husband who was a domestic abuser, but at the time, I didn't even realize how bad it was. And I had no idea that that was what God had called me for. I nearly died at birth, and this isn't all about me, but I just to tell the greatness of God, I was born early. I was premature. And in the time that I was born, they didn't have the kinds of things that they have now, the technology they have now. They probably could have saved me very easily. But back then, they thought I would die. They didn't know whether I was going to live or die. And they had to give me blood transfusions immediately. I was born and I had to have blood transfusion because my mother had the Rh factor, which means her blood was attacking my body. So there I am as an absolute infant. They're considering it the possibility that I can die. They don't know whether I'm going to live or die. So they had to wait a certain amount of time to see what happened. I lived, obviously. But it amazes me. He chose me, as he says, from my mother's womb to survive. I could have easily just gone home to heaven. I mean, it would have been a lot easier for me, but I could have gone there. But then he had this plan.
Yeah.
And his plan was for me to go and be saved by Jesus Christ and preach the gospel.
Hallelujah.
And I have seen many people saved. I've seen many people delivered. I'm amazed that I'm even a part of it. But that was his plan. So none of us is unplanned. There is no such thing as an unplanned pregnancy because he plans them all.
Yeah.
So, we're going. Well, I want us to remember that it's not about our plans; it's about His plans.
Hallelujah! Yeah.
And you know what is amazing? His plans are a million times, zillion, whatever, infinitely more valuable than ours ever could be, no matter how good they may look. It's not about us; It's about him in us.
Hallelujah.
That's what it's about. And then we're fulfilled. And then we're wholly his.
Hallelujah.
And then we have, then he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given you. Then we're filled with that authority and power. Instead of us holding it back all the time. Oh, they might not like, who cares? They might not like us. They might get healed.
Amen.
And then they might turn to him. Mm-hmm. That's what's important. And this is for all, I'm preaching to myself too. It's for all of us to remember.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
So now I want to go to Romans 8, 5 to 10. This is about how we're meant to live, so that people can see that we're different than from the world. He says, Paul said to the Romans, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's us having all our own plans, what we want. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And get this, in verse 6, this is so important for us to get. For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. So if we are about our flesh, our plans, our desires, that's death. Equals death to God. But if we are about the Spirit of God, that's life and peace. Sometimes we don't have peace. You know, we're praying for something. We don't have peace because we're praying for the wrong thing. Sometimes we're not asking for his will. We're asking for our will. And we're not going to have peace about it. If we are children of God, asking for our own will is going to make us not peaceful. We're going to be agitated. We're going to be upset because it's his Spirit lives in us and knows what's right for us. So let's go on to the next verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity, and that means like you're an enemy, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So when we're thinking fleshly thoughts, selfish thoughts, our mind becomes an enemy to God. And we can't have his peace because he says, he who sets his mind on me, I will give him perfect peace. We can't have peace without having our mind on God. When we're worried about all our things, our money problems, our relationship problems, our job problems, whatever, there's no peace. And we're not trusting him with it. We're supposed to pray to him and then leave it with him, he says. Now, in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we have to be led. He says in the word in another part of Romans, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That's how we know how to be his witnesses. And you know, originally that word witness, martyr, that word martyr just meant witness. And then Stephen was the first martyr, so his witnessing became unto death. And some of us will have that, and some of us won't. The Lord showed me the other day, because I know I'm going back to Africa, and I'm going to go to the West, and I'm even willing to go to the Middle East, which is amazing, because I never was before. I never wanted to go there. Now I go, I don't care where you send me. I was reading so much about other people who've died for their faith, current heroes of the faith, not just long ago. People who are dying now, people who are suffering now. And I started thinking, well, Lord, I should be a martyr. That would be the greatest way to glorify you. And you know what he said to me? He said, I choose who is to be martyred for me.
Oh, yes.
You don't choose that. Isn't that amazing? You don't choose it. I choose how you go.
Yes.
Don't you tell me what to do. Now, I'm not saying I won't be martyred, but he doesn't want me to go make this some big little glorious badge for me.
Mm.
He's like, no, that's got to glorify me. I'll choose whether you go that way or not. Isn't that amazing? He has every bit of our lives in his hand. Every moment, because he says he ordained our days before we were even born. So he ordained that day that I was born that I wouldn't die. He ordained today, and he'll ordain our last day and our last moment. But in the meantime, we have that job to do. And I was listening to a priest in Iraq who's helping all his displaced people in Iraq, in one of the refugee camps. And you know what he said? Our job, Christians, to help others, it's not our duty. He said it's our job. We're meant to do it. It's not a duty. It's just what we do as Christians. It's just what we're to be about, our Father's business. Okay? Now, I wanted to go to about the gospel being the foundation of our faith. And in that it being the foundation, and I'm not going to do all these scriptures, but those are the ones I used for this, so don't worry. When the Holy Ghost gave me that word that said, if we're not willing to die for Christ, then we're not living for him, he gave me a scripture to go with it, John 12:25. And let's read that. Yes, of course.
Thank you.
John 12, chapter 12, verse 25. And he says, and this is Jesus talking. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Let's think about that. He that loves his life shall lose it. So if we're in the world and we're like, we're all into our money or making money or getting the special job or getting the certain spouse or whatever it is that our focus is, or being some top person in ministry, we're loving our lives in this world. And he said, we are to be in the world, but not of it. And he said, if you love the world, it says in 1 John, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's terrifying. That's, we just have to get that. If we love the world, guess what? Daddy's love isn't in our heart. And we've got to renounce it and ask him to forgive us and fill us with his love. So Jesus said to them, he that loves his life shall lose it. So even if you love the world and you love all this stuff, you're going to lose it. It's all going to go. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And that means like those persecuted Christians that we, that are right now are being horribly tortured, imprisoned, abused, harmed, some killed. That's what they're doing. They're hating their life in this world. They're going, this world is nothing. And we've got, if we don't have our eyes on eternity, not just because of Jesus meeting us in the clouds, but because eternity is all there really is. This right here is a snap of your fingers. Our lives are that one little tiny blink on the screen. So short, so brief. And it'll have no value if we love this little blink on the screen. But if we love eternity through Christ, we will have a life that's worth living and worth dying for. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you that you even counted us worthy to, before we were ever born, to die for us. We can never repay you, but we can live our lives for you in a way that glorifies you and that makes what you did not in vain in us. We ask you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that we would not love the world, but the love of the Father would indwell in us so powerfully, so strongly, so mightily, that it would burst out to those around us, and they would say, why are you like that? I want to understand. I want to know, whether they're Australians or Africans or anyone else, that we would be your true and faithful witnesses until you take us home to glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we love you. Amen. 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 Thank you, Father.